That's Mike's Bridge.
Yeah.
When I think of the superstar Mike Morris, I think of guys with long hair. singing like that, not wearing shirts.
Yeah, well, me too. And I'm glad you associate that with me.
And then playing chainsaws. This is the chainsaw song or whatever.
Yeah.
Tom Bernard used to be on the radio show here with us.
Yep.
This is his favorite song.
Are you
He'd
kidding?
Ask for it all the time.
Are you serious?
Not kidding.
That's funny.
Listen, because here comes the
chainsaws. I like this song. I really do.
What was going on back in this day?
Jackal. They were sweet. It's not really to the part of the song yet, but...
When does that part go?
Well, it's kind of in the middle.
Well, we're almost halfway done with the song already.
I introduced the band in 1994.
Wow. No wonder they call you the superstar.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, well, they let in for another band that I introduced, and that other band was Aerosmith. In 1994, quite frankly, they were pretty current.
They were, huh?
Listen, right here.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. We'll dial it up.
No.
I love it.
What the hell is this?
It's heavy metal. How much more heavy can you get than a damn chainsaw? Listen.
This is real?
Oh, yeah. You can't make it up. Beautiful. That's just whooping ass. That's whooping ass, man.
This might be my new favorite band. Anybody that has a chainsaw as one of their music instruments, I am in. I love it.
Oh,
all right, let's
God.
Talk about something serious for a second here.
It's just sports, but yeah, we can make it a little more serious here, but. Damn if that song doesn't rock. Nice job with the selection. I had no idea you were going to put that on there. But Master Tesfatsian, one of our friends.
Love that guy.
Over at the Star Tribune. He is breaking down one position at a time. One of the top guys each time he does it. And he's talking about the top prospects in the 2015 NFL Draft. And is it true or is it hype about what they're seeing in these guys? So he breaks everything down about, of course, my favorite guy, Michigan State cornerback Trey Waynes. I think he's a great player, and just looking at it by the numbers, I mean, he's I think exceeded everything that I thought of another good football player out of Michigan State, another cornerback,
Darquise
Denard.
Oh, he would play for
Michigan.
Okay,
but this guy he's real deal. At take for instance just the straight numbers, NFL Combine Pro Day results, 40-yard dash, 4.31.
Pretty good.
He's so skinny, though. He's so skinny. Can he tackle?
Well, you know, I don't know about that. I don't think he's skinny by any means.
He's skinny.
He's tall and lanky. Don't you think?
He's 186 pounds. I think he's 6 feet and 186. And I think that's plenty of range, and that's plenty of size. He's got a great reach. In receiving, they call that the catch radius. Well, use the same thing when you're talking cornerbacks and trying to get on a football that's kind of a jump football for everybody. I think he's got great hops. He's got a 38-inch vertical, 10 feet 2 inches in his broad jump. But the film is where he is impressive. He can go man-to-man. He can work press coverage. The one thing that may get him in trouble is that he can be too aggressive sometimes, and that can get him burnt. That can get any cornerback burnt, and that's coachable. That's coachable.
That's what happens with a lot of young players, whether no matter what position they play. That's what we're dealing with, or the Wild are dealing with Matt Dumba every once in a while, and he seems to be fixing it. And just like you said, it's coachable, but you can't coach the talent. You can't coach the skill.
Agreed.
It's God-given.
Well, here are more numbers. Per NFL.com, he gave up just 2 touchdowns in his last 2 seasons at Michigan State. His physicality is good. They've often we've heard the scuttle that he is not a great tackler. I don't know who comes up with this stuff. I don't know who says
he's
stuff like that.
Tackler.
That way, if you don't, he's a good tackler. He's an aggressive tackler. He comes up on the in support of the run, and he knocks him down.
Worries me though. In the NFL, he's just not big enough. There's not enough girth there.
How big do they have to be a corner?
Look at Xavier Rhodes, man. That guy is...
Well, he wasn't that big when he got here,
Wasn't, but he wasn't as good either as he is now.
That's so you don't like the upside of a kid like this?
Upside. Why do you hate me right now?
I just do. I can't...
Did Mike Berardino make you all grumpy inside?
he does rub off wrong on me, and I don't hate you. I despise you. So let's just leave it at that.
It's fine.
Well, I don't. I mean, look, Master sees it this way. If you're looking at it between, look, truth or hype, he's giving him the truth nod. Everything that's good about this kid that they've been saying about him, he believes that that is the case. And he's worthy of being a number one draft choice. At 11?
11 to me, I don't know. I mean, just because the way that Rick Spielman does things. Tricky Dick the Rick. If everybody, all the mock drafts have the Minnesota Vikings taking Trey Waynes. 90% of them do now. You started that whole shenanigan fire starter deal way back before it was sexy, but you did it.
Yeah, I did.
It was you. It was you that started this whole Trey Waynes deal.
I can tell you that I said it first. I know that much.
I know you did.
So
on this radio program.
I know it.
That's why I'm so lucky to work with you every single day. And I jumped on it. I said, Trey Waynes, I like the film. You showed me all these things. Yeah, let's go. We need that guy.
And why couldn't we use another corner right now?
He's not even the best cornerback in the draft.
Well. I digress on that a little bit. I disagree on that.
Why not trade back and get some more picks and be able to fill in the rest of the team? Kevin Johnson could go a little bit later. He's a cornerback. A lot of mock drafts have him going number 30th to the Green Bay Packers. The Marcus Peters guys is a Jicky Jack from, got kicked off of Washington.
Mm-hmm. I would say this. When you're looking at a player that ranks by most people, in this case, scouts, and coaches and GMs and everybody else that's weighed into this thing, all the people who are so-called mock draft experts. We talked with Dane Brugler. Mm-hmm. They all have a say in this this hype.
Mm-hmm.
The top 15 guys. This is just me talking. Out of the 32 teams,
mm-hmm.
if you're ranked in this draft 1 through 15 any year, which we are 11. You are going to get a football player that will absolutely whip some ass if you have any idea of what you're doing. If you have anything, any idea what the hell you're doing, you want to take a top 10, 11, 12 guy. You just don't want to trade that off unless you can finagle a way to come up and get into the top five. Look, great.
But there are, what, 4 or 5 can't-miss guys this year, supposedly.
Well, I always believe there are 15.
And then there are that mid-round where Trey Waynes is that's going to last probably through the first round, maybe even the middle of the second round. Mm-hmm. There's just a whole bunch of second-tier
nice
guys.
Nice slew of players that you wouldn't say plug him in like Dane Brugler said, plug him in and play him.
Mm.
Plug him in and play him. Without injury, he's going to be there for 9-10 years.
Right.
I think those top 15 guys in any draft should be those kinds of guys.
I believe you, but I just don't think Rick Spielman hates doing what everybody thinks he's going to do, and he's going to pull some sort of shenanigans. That's what
better make it count. Whatever it is, make it count. Now, look.
He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. Oftentimes, he has been the last couple of drafts. I just hope he doesn't get too big for his britches and doesn't, try to pull a Christian Ponder dealio on us again.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because that sure as hell didn't work.
God, it's so hard to find a quarterback, though. Let's take a little break, shall we?
I need a break from you.
Come back.
A big one.
I'm back to hating you.
Welcome to the club.
Chris Shad, really, you hate you too?
Yes.
You should seek some professional help.
I do already.
You shouldn't hate yourself.
I already do. Seek professional help.
Let's find out if Chris Shad likes you or not.
Probably not.
He is with Cold Omaha, and he's one of the writers there, and he's going to talk about Adrian Peterson in the NFL draft. Funny, I think we just covered that a little bit. But
people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Go ahead, make my day.
I wish someone would make my day.
That's terrible.
Charles Barkley would not be the kind of guy you would call upon to make your day.
Sit down and...
Warren
Sit
Sapp.
Sit down and shut up.
Warren Sapp. That's what he was told. Sit down and shut up. You're going to jail. Chris Shad might be able to help your day. Might be able to help you along. I don't know. Let's find out. He's with Cold Omaha, one of the writers here at 105 The Ticket, and we're glad to have him on because of the content that he brings today is Adrian Peterson in the NFL draft. I wonder what he's going to say that we haven't said because, we've said a lot this week already. Chris Shad, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't we talk to him about bringing hot dogs in?
I think we did. Hey, and where
I got good news. I did find some hot dogs for you guys.
Oh.
I made a phone call, and they should be arriving sometime soon. The folks at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City had some left over from Dollar a Dog Night. So, I mean, you should get them soon. You guys just ignore the blue buns. It's kind of like green eggs and ham, you know. It looks weird, but I'm sure they just taste just fine.
Did you hear about that soup?
I did not hear about that.
They had Dollar Dog Night. It looked nothing like their regular hot dogs, and they were all moldy. And they were selling them at Kauffman Stadium for Royals
games. You've got to be kidding
me. But they said the blue mold, bluish-green mold, just to match the jerseys.
Well, they were just the gimmicky, you know. They're trying something. They were reaching a little bit there, but they tried to make blue hot dogs to go along with the Royal blue, I guess. Chris, that's not funny, though, in our case. We're still hungry, and we are not eating hot dogs today. You're on the show, and there were supposed to be hot dogs in front of this.
I know. I tried my best, guys. I'm sure you'll be disappointed when they arrive, but, you know, it's the effort that counts.
Yeah, I guess so. You know what, you're right.
Chris, a couple of days ago, 105theticket.com, part of our Cold Omaha writing team, you wrote an article about trading Adrian Peterson for a first-round draft pick and a cornerback. And that cornerback, you thought that possibly holding up the deal with the Dallas Cowboys is Morris Claiborne. I don't really like him. He's not that good. He's kind of been a bust ever since he was drafted. Still young, only 25 years old. What about Orlando Scandrick, however you say his name. I want that guy.
Good player.
I think Scandrick's too much of an integral part of that defense, though. Scandrick's technically their number one corner by default.
Yeah, want him.
Because Claiborne got his fifth-year option exercise, but, I mean, with Scandrick, you know, they're asking for a first-round pick in a starting corner. A first-round pick for a 30-year-old running back who just missed most of the last two seasons is kind of sketchy at that. A starting cornerback, let alone a number one cornerback on top of it, is really sketchy. I know Jerry Jones is crazy. I've said it all along, if one owner would do something nuts for Adrian Peterson, it would be Jerry Jones, but I don't think he's going to give you Orlando Scandrick. I think Claiborne's the better bet. He's kind of a reclamation project for Mike Zimmer, who is pretty much the Dr. Frankenstein of cornerbacks. Because in Cincinnati alone, he resurrected Adam Jones from the dead. Terrence Newman was left for dead by the Cowboys, and he turned out to be a pretty good player. Also signed with the Vikings, and Taylor Mays was about to be out of the league, and Mike Zimmer helped him be a semi-functional player. So, I mean, getting Claiborne, a guy with potential who was a top 10 pick a couple years ago, you put him in Mike Zimmer's hand and let him mold that clay, so to speak.
Well, you got a little fiery there, Chris Shad from Cold Omaha and 105theticket.com. As the Minnesota Vikings, I'm getting cocky just saying, you know what, this is what I want for Adrian Peterson. You don't give it to me, that's fine. We'll keep him. I don't care. We want what we want, and you give it to us if you want Adrian Peterson. Otherwise, he's going to be a Minnesota Viking, and he's going to rush for 3,700 yards next year.
And that's the attitude they need to have. It's not like the Kevin Love situation a year ago. The Timberwolves had Kevin Love. There's only 1 year left on his contract, and he was going to be gone. Adrian Peterson signed through 2017. So the Vikings can afford to dig their heels in and say, you're going to play for us, and you're going to like it. I mean, Peterson has come out wanting him to guarantee all that money on the contract, but the Vikings don't, it's been said all along, the Vikings don't owe Adrian Peterson anything. If he wants to play football, it's going to be in Minnesota unless the Vikings get a really good deal. And if I'm the Vikings, I take that stance because Adrian Peterson is the catalyst of this team. And he's going, I mean, with Adrian Peterson on this team, you're talking about a playoff team. Without Adrian Peterson, it becomes a little murkier. But, you know, get the best for what you can. And if you don't get it, you still have one of the best running backs in the NFL in your backfield.
No question. Is it fact? Is it known that the Vikings actually asked Dallas for the cornerback, the starting cornerback, in the first-round draft choice?
It's one of those sources thing. ESPN's Adam Kaplan actually reported it. Oh. But, you know how these things work.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got their quote-unquote sources, and, you know, they'll start making whatever they can to really drive the price up. I mean, it could be a team official that's saying that's what the Vikings want in order to keep Dallas from doing it or something.
What sort of thing do you think is going on behind the scenes with Adrian Peterson's agent, Ben Dagra, with the Tampa Bay picture, wearing the Bucs hat, you know, sitting there acting all chilled out in front of one of Adrian Peterson's jerseys? What's going on there anyway?
Well, I got to say, Ben Dagra was definitely rocking the socks and sandals in that picture, if I believe so.
He was.
Yeah, but some people have said that I don't follow Ben Dagra on Twitter. I probably should, and, you know, stick, you know, expectations there. But I've heard that he's worn that hat before in photos, so it's not exactly a big thing. But it was kind of just a strange picture of Dagra chilling behind an Adrian Peterson jersey with a Bucks hat saying game on. So everybody, I've heard it. Some people say, okay, well, we got the number one pick. Let's do this. No, just, you're not getting the number one pick for Adrian Peterson. It's going to be a second round pick if it's with Tampa Bay. But I thought we'd hear news sooner than that if it was a deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And really, we're just kind of in limbo right now.
Yeah, there have been actually some scuttle that actually was on ESPN and NFL Network where the black and silver out there in California, the Raiders actually have had some talks apparently about Adrian Peterson. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just been everywhere. I mean, we've heard it from every single team almost.
I'd love to get rid of him.
The Raiders would be a great fit for Adrian Peterson. Well, not for Adrian Peterson, no. But Adrian Peterson would fit in their mold immediately because Peterson's contract, the Raiders have a ton of cap room. They couldn't get anybody to come to Oakland in free agency. So they can slide Adrian Peterson's salary under their cap, but they don't have the assets because if the Vikings want a first-round pick, you're talking about the fourth overall pick in the draft. You're not going to get that from Oakland. You're probably looking at a second-round pick, and the best corner you can get is DJ Hayden. So I don't know if Oakland's got the ammo to get Adrian Peterson over to the east side.
What's wrong with Hayden? He was a first-round draft pick last year or the year before. I mean, he's still pretty young, so everything you say about Morris Claiborne should be the same when it comes to DJ Hayden, too, or no?
That's a fair point. Hayden hasn't lived up to his potential over in Oakland either. But look
but
at
he
the
plays
coaching
for
staff
the Raiders.
Exactly. Look at the coaching staff he's working with over there. It's a very good point. I mean, Hayden would be a solid pickup.
And you also have to play in the Coliseum, where they, honest to God, seriously have raw sewage running through the Oakland Athletics clubhouse and locker room. And I think they've had the same deal with the Oakland Raiders as well. I don't blame anybody for not wanting to go to Oakland. That's where careers and NFL players go to die.
Yeah, that raw sewage tends to seep on the field on Sundays, too.
Yeah, yeah, they crap the bed often. And so I think that's where it ends up. But we've actually had a guy on the show that goes out there with a certain company to clean up.
He owns the
stadium.
Company. It's a Minnesota
company. And he goes out and he actually takes care of that stadium from time to time.
To get the poop out of there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it spills over the drainage system or the sewage system, whatever the case, under the stadium is just a complete mess.
I shouldn't say poop. I should say potty because it's both. It's both the one and the two, if you know what I mean. It's combining to be a three, and the three glows in the green. It's just not. I just won't go any further, good. But it's not good. And Adrian Peterson should go there. Either the Oakland Raiders, the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the Cleveland Browns. That's where I want to send Adrian Peterson. And just because the Minnesota Vikings can't get the first draft pick or a first-round draft pick this year doesn't mean that we wouldn't be happy with Jacksonville or Oakland or Cleveland's first-round pick next year. Is there going to be just as terrible?
Just as bad.
It's another solid point. I mean, I don't know if the Vikings want to get... I have the feeling that the Vikings want to take that step forward this year, though. I think they want to get that additional pick this year, add another weapon, possibly on offense to help Teddy Bridgewater, or on defense to take another step forward. I don't think this is a long-term rebuild, and if they trade Adrian Peterson, they're doing to win it right now.
I think so, too. I think the window is right now, too. I mean, going into this new
No, wait. No!
The window can start this season with a team that went 7-9 with nobody playing football.
For a championship?
No. The season that I think can be the turnaround year is this season right now. And that's part of that run, going into a new stadium next year. I like our chances to be right in the mix with anybody.
I think the Minnesota Vikings think they have one more year before they have to explode on the scene. They want to, obviously, they want to be better than 7-9 last year. I think they'd be happy with 9-7 and narrowly missing the playoffs. I think they would think that is a victory. What the preparation of being able to explode in 2016 as they head to that brand new stadium just down the street here at the old Metrodome site. But I could be wrong. I mean, they'll take, if they're not able to get a first round draft pick this year from Oakland or Jacksonville or Cleveland, if that's who they traded Adrian Peterson to, they will not turn down a first round pick next year. They will not do it.
You got to remember, too, when you talk about them winning right now, if a couple of plays go their way, say the one that comes to my mind is the Buffalo game. If Buffalo doesn't score on that last second drive, you know, there's 8-8, maybe some better clock management in Detroit. That's 9-7. They could have been a 9 or 10 win team even without Adrian Peterson, and that's drinking Kool-Aid, but that's the facts. If they make a play here and there, they could have been a better team and sniffing a playoff spot. So I agree. I'm in Morris's camp. I think the Vikings are ready to win now, and I think they're going to take a draft pick this year if they do trade Adrian Peterson.
You're a traitor.
He's calling you a traitor. I don't know why. I don't know why he's calling you a traitor. I don't know why. I think it's because you abandoned his ship.
And I want the damn hot dogs.
And he wants the hot dogs too, but you're right. I think that with a new coaching staff and all the injuries and everything else that we had going on last year, no Adrian Peterson, that there was an awful lot of things that could have still happened, even with Bridgewater and really everyone else on the bench injured. They could have made this a 9-7 squad pretty easily. But thank you anyway, Chris. I appreciate everything, and we'll have you back on, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
Some wonderful music.
I want to rock out.
Well, this is rock and roll right here. Sounds like Elton John. Sister Christian, it's not, though. The time has come. It sounds like Night Ranger. Pete Wagner's up next, and that's all that really matters. He's a wonderful man. You can also hear him on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock for On the Ice. Got a new Twin Series show with Al Newman and Gene Larkin. They call that one On Deck Radio. We're going to talk about this very special man next.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight.
That's terrible.
Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice.
Some bitch is slick, ain't it?
The goalie jumps, and the players bump, and the fans all go insane.
Hello!
Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old
everybody! Hockey game. Everybody!
The good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
We weren't on it from the start, and we got worse as it went. Normally, we're a team that I think we start well, but we stay with our game very strongly as far as whether we're ahead, whether we're behind, and tonight we broke, that's for sure.
Son of a bitch is slick, ain't it?
They broke.
Slicker than snot on a pump handle. Listen, Pete Wagner's with us right now. He knows that damned hockey stuff. He knows that stuff.
He hosts the On the Ice hockey show Saturday mornings at 9. Is it a two-hour special again this week, Pete?
A two-hour extravaganza Stanley Cup special.
Holy.
Absolutely.
Woo! You're going to have a lot to talk about after last night's game, and then there's going to be another game tomorrow night, and then another game coming up on Sunday, so a lot to talk about and a lot to preview. First, let's start off with that doozy of a 6-1 loss last night. I mean, it was just goal after 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 goal.
You sound like you're a soccer announcer.
I know one thing.
So does Tony Pants on FSN, by the way. But
are you as fired up? Are you all fired up about what happened last night? Are you ready to dump this team and just start cursing and swearing at the way they play?
No, I'm frustrated, absolutely, Mike. I mean, you know, the one thing you got to be, we all have to be careful with series is, you know, there's going to be great moments and there's going to be rough moments. St. Louis Blues aren't second in the league by accident. I mean, we know that. But here's a number. I'm going to give you these hit totals. 16 for one team and 26 for the other. Gentlemen, who had the 26?
The Wild.
Okay, correct. Who had the 16? The St. Louis Blues. Your giveaway, St. Louis won. They coughed it up once. Minnesota 8.
Yeah.
Basically, my concern coming into this was, you know, I'm surprised St. Louis didn't execute like this on Monday.
The funny thing is, boy, was Kenny Hitchcock just, boy, he was just all happy and cocky on the post game, wasn't he? This is the way we play. This is what we do.
Okay.
They gotta adjust to us. We're not changing a thing. It's like, whoa, okay, this is interesting. But they did adjust, and here's what they did. They quit engaging physically. They quit engaging physically deep in the wild zone. They stepped back. If you guys watch that game, Minnesota got nothing going from the tops of their circles to the far blue line. They never had the puck because they, what, gave it away, turned it over, couldn't get it deep. And when they did, because there were so many guys back, and what options for the Blues to get the puck out of the zone, the Wild couldn't sustain the forecheck. Never adjusted to it, and what they're going to, you know, the problem in front of them is the Blues are saying, we're going to do that to you again. Good luck. And Minnesota's going to need to figure a way to get through that center ice area to get some things done, not cough it up. And let's be honest, that goaltending was beyond atrocious. That five hole, that was a backbreaker.
Yeah.
That thing off the arm. And you know, Mike Greenlay said it best, you know, and I know this quite well as attendee myself for the day. When you're getting pieces of pucks that are going in off arms and into the back of the net, it means you're not out on the blue, on the top of the blue, and it means you're not square to the puck. When you're square to the puck, you're gobbling up right off that wild crest, and it wasn't happening. So, you know, what's scary is the Blues say, yeah, you know, that's the effort we needed. And the Wild said, you know, geez, we just got worse and worse, and it wasn't good. How do you not have an effort in Lord Stanley's Cup playoffs is beyond me. I don't understand.
Pete Wagner, yeah, we're talking Wild Hockey. He's the host Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. right here. It's called On the Ice on 105 The Ticket. Was last night's game 6-1, was that just one of those things where all of a sudden it was just kind of an oopsie and it got away from the Minnesota Wild? They ended up changing a couple of things and realized, okay, the game got way out of hand. We just have to forget about it and head back to what we do best in St. Louis tomorrow night. Or is that a momentum shifter and everything's going to be a debacle from here on out?
Who knows? I mean, I think that's the thing about this whole series and teams that are matched up like this. It's really difficult to say because we don't really know. I mean, who could have predicted what would happen last night? I mean, you know, actually in January, who would have predicted that Minnesota would go on the tear that they did to get into the postseason? Nobody. So you just never know what's going to happen. You never know how they're going to respond to things. And, you know, right now, if you judge the temperature gauge around here, it's ice cold. Oh no, they're in trouble. But the next thing you know, a win for the Wild and it's like, let's wrap this thing up. I don't know. If St. Louis continue, if they do what they did last night, I don't care who's playing them. That'll be a hard team to beat to the very end. That's my opinion.
I think so, too. Just big, physical, tough. I don't know. I mean, Dubnyk is the key for me. That's the key. That's the question mark for me. Is this guy burnt out yet? Has he seen a lot of time, too much time, perhaps, without very much rest at all? And now the intensity and the pressure of playoff hockey. And is this affecting him now?
At this stage, I don't think so. Good question and worth discussing, and the course of time will tell us if that's the case. But these were goals that scored. The first Ryan Reeve goal that was scored up high was a partial screen because the Blues had traffic in front of the Minnesota net, something they didn't really have, you know, in 7 out of the 9 periods prior to the Minnesota Wild in their zone, which gave him some sightline issues. The Tarasenko redirect to the top shelf. Again, a guy going to the net that got in behind the defense a little bit, working a little bit harder, moving his feet, getting to that area, a great deflection. Just the whole execution was great. Can't really fault the goaltender for that. And, you know, you can rip Dubnyk for that five hole on Stastny when he comes to the left faceoff dot, but if you give a sharp shooter in the National Hockey League, even the gooniest of goons who can shoot, except for Steve Ott, if you give them that opportunity to shoot from that dot, they're going to probably find a corner or a five hole. And he had nothing but time to lean into that shot. So yes, it did look like a bad goal. I don't think Dubnyk is going to have back-to-back poor performances. They're not going to lose this series because of him. They will win it because of him, but they will certainly not lose it because of him. And the Minnesota Wild have always done this as a group. They've always responded when the chips are down. They almost crave it, almost need it. And I think that's the thing that's going to help this team for Friday night's game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's why I'm looking forward to Friday night's game instead of cringing about having to watch it for my job and for obviously being a fan. Pete Wagner, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m., 2-hour special on the ice, 105 The Ticket, Saturday morning. What do you have coming up on the program?
We've got writers from across the country joining us, beat writers from Nashville, Washington, D.C. We got the Post checking in. We've got someone from Winnipeg. We've got Edmonton Sun. We're also going to have J. Elliot Parker, a local musician who penned the song I Want to Be Pritchard. The guy that handles the Stanley Cup. It's a great song. We're going to talk about what really, you know, the guy with the blonde hair and the gloves.
Oh, of course, the blonde hair guy and the glove guy. Yep. Yeah, Noah.
Yeah, he got to know that guy, and he heard his story and how he got to get that, in his world, the greatest job on earth. So he wrote this really cool blues tune that he recorded here, and he did it. He wrote it last year, and I thought, what a great time to play that song and talk to him about that. So.
That sounds cool.
So we'll have him on, and we'll solve the world's problems. I think we'll be good.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Pete.
That'd be great. If you have the opportunity to finally discover cold fusion, call me.
I certainly will.
I'll be listening to you Saturday morning while I eat my yams.
He doesn't care. He could care less if you're eating yams or not. He does not care. He hung up on you. So let that be a lesson. We have the NFL draft trade value chart, though, next. And I think that's important to bring up since we're all trying to weigh into who's worth what and how do you trade up, trade down, and still get the value, the correct value for trading up or trading down. And we have that right here at Radioactive Sports.
All right.
This franchise is Teddy's.
It is?
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Hell no. N-A-H, nah.
T-t-t-tia.
Pat.
There's too much confusion.
Because people like to say salsa.
Such as myself.
Live long and prosper.
What was that?
Live long and prosper.
Well,
I'm gonna, damn it, Maverick.
If I'm going to prosper, I might live long. I hope so. Wow, that hurt. I sprained it again. Damn it anyway. Right on the table. I had trouble the other day in the weight room, too. Had some issues.
No, I know you did. Yeah. You drew me a picture.
Yeah.
And that was more than I needed.
Man, I'm telling you what, that hurts. We have something very interesting, I think, to talk about. It's the draft trade chart. Yeah. And I don't know if many people are aware of this, but almost anywhere now, by this time, almost every club's got a trade value chart.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at guys and where they're ranked and what the war room board looks like when it comes time to make a selection. Is a guy still on the board that they want? Is there someone still down the board that they would like and they know that they can get to it because no one else is going to pick it, so they trade back and it's safe to do that? But they still have to be careful with where they take someone and how much they're willing to give up if they're making these trade-outs. To trade up, trade down, package something and put it together and move up. And Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones were amongst the first people that had a war room that was so intricate and dialed in and focused on producing, you know, top talent and top, and making every draft choice count. And they had a scoring system for it. And that's what we have in front of us right now. So
looking at this makes me want to, I mean, I've been teetering here a little bit. I was on your bandwagon for Trey Waynes. I think I've jumped off the Trey Waynes bandwagon. I want the Minnesota Vikings to trade back. I think that's what Rick Spielman's going to do. That's what he's known for doing. Just trading back one spot from 11 to 12. Get a fourth round draft pick out of the Cleveland Browns. What have the Minnesota Vikings done recently? Often, it seems like the last 2 years, they've traded back one spot with the Cleveland Browns. That's how bad the franchise has been here, by the way. The Cleveland Browns are drafting one pick behind us. But you trade back from 11 to 12, you get an extra fourth-round draft pick. Rick Spielman loves having 10 picks. He says it year in and year out. Right now, he only has 7. None in the 5th or none in the 6th, 2 in the 7th.
I mean, if that's the strategy, and I think it's safe to say that Spielberg likes that because he wants to farm this team in much the way the Patriots do, much the way the Green Bay Packers do, and the other teams that are the most successful teams in the NFL. They farm it in. They bring in as they trust the way they assess talent. They trust that their people know who to pick and who is safe to pick and who won't be a problem, who will be a durable player throughout the years and stay around and be on the field and be part of that team that they're trying to put together. You have to have players stick and stay in place to keep building upon that. They believe they do it the right way by staying young, staying with the draft, not necessarily the older players in the veteran free agency, staying new in the draft. And you take about 3 or 4 or 5 years of drafting the way you should and make all those draft choices count, and you find out that almost every one of those kids are still on the club 5 years down the road and heading into the Super Bowl. That's how Seattle did it. I mean, they came up good on a coach, several draft choices that were, I mean, Cam Chancellor was like, I want to say like fifth round. They know how to find them. They know how to put a team together, and they all are still there too. So Rick is of that ilk.
Eric Kendricks, drafted by the Minnesota Vikings in the first round, UCLA tackling machine, middle linebacker, trading back to get him. Get extra picks.
It's a great need. I don't think that would be a bad choice. I don't think that would, as long as you make good on everything else as you move along throughout the 2 days of the draft cover, 3 days of the draft coverage, and you make good on whatever you're trading to pull that deal together.
Hmm.
You just have to make them count, especially that first round draft choice. It has got to be money. Kids got to stick around, be the right kind of guy, not end up, let's say on the commissioner's exempt list. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So you're drafting character. In Pittsburgh, they say, we want Pittsburgh Steeler players. We want our kinds of players. That's what it's been known as for years.
What's a Minnesota Viking kind of player?
I'm not so sure it's a good image that we paint. I don't think it is. Lately, it's been pretty good. We've had some trouble, though, in the recent history of the Vikings in the draft with character issues. But you know what? That's the way it goes. Do we have to take a break?
Sure.
Did you circle the wagons there?
I did, yeah.
We're going to take a break then. Oh, man. I mean, this is my break, too. It's going to be good. Lots of fun coming up on the break. Also, by the way, caller number 10 at 651-989-9105 wins a four-pack of single-day passes to the 2015 Wizard World Comic-Con at the Minneapolis Convention Center, May 1st through May 3rd. Caller 10. Get on your horse, or wait, get on your phone and call, and hopefully you'll win those tickets, sissy pants.
Oh my God, it's cute!
I'm not worried.
Sacrifice a live chicken or something.
That may not be a bad idea. Take a chicken out
there.
Would
you like to say salsa?
I say salsa and chicken.
Unbelievable.
Hello!
Speaking of which,
that's terrible.
You're a big fight fan.
Cool Whip. Cool Whip. Cool Whip.
That's nice.
Take it, eh? Are you a fight fan?
No, I think it's stupid.
Okay.
Return of the Mac. This is your theme song, by the way. Rock, Mac, Return of the Mac. But instead of playing that nasty heavy metal crap that you like to play.
What's this garbage right now?
You're the Miggity 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 Mac, Daddy. You're the Miggity 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 Mac.
Do you have a lighter? And some kerosene?
Isn't this great? This is like the greatest songs of all time. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I would put that particular song, if I had it right now, in that great big green trash dumpster out back with some kerosene and a lighter. I'd just go ahead and burn it right there.
Nice.
I throw that garbage right in the damn dumpster.
Fight fan? No, not really. I was watching some program Evander Holyfield was on, and the guy's basically brain dead. I mean, why do you go and play in a sport where people are beating the crap out of each other and you become stupid? I mean, there are enough stupid people in this world already as it is.
I don't know if those guys really got that way. I think they may have started that way before they ever threw their first punch.
Which would make sense because...
Well, yeah. I think that's how... That may have been how they were to begin with.
Needless to say, do I love a good Rocky movie? Yeah. Did I watch Mike Tyson growing up? Yeah. Would I love to watch a Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather thing?
Mayweather.
Yeah.
Jeez, the tickets to start. The tickets are starting at $1,500.
Good God. Well, you got to pay each one of them like, what, $70 million or something?
I don't know what it is, but it's been going down. This fight and the makings and creating this fight and promoting this fight has taken place on and off now for almost 10 years.
Wow.
It's been forever. Maybe not that long. It's been at least 8 years. And there's a really great documentary on this thing.
Floyd Mayweather going to make $119.8 million from his May 2nd super fight against Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao will pick up only $79.6 million for one fight. One fight!
Seems like a good exchange for exchanging blows
like
that.
One fight.
And you have to hope that you come away with part of your brains to be able to go spend that. Or to help manage those who help you manage your money. I just, and then you wonder how much. See, I think Mayweather, although he's just brash and just arrogant, beyond belief. I mean, he's a great fighter, undefeated. But I think he's done pretty well with his money. I mean, normally you hear about.
He makes it rain like crazy, though. He's spending it on all those crazy things like gold plated cars and whatnot, but he's made
something. Did you see the garage?
No.
Did you see his 20,000 foot car garage?
No. When you get paid $119.8 million per fight, I would imagine you're doing pretty well. $99 is what it costs if you want to buy that thing on pay-per-view. $99. I'm just going to go to a bar and watch it. $99.
Yeah. They'll charge you a door fee to go into one of those places. I'll gladly pay that for about $5, $10.
Pay the $90. How about this? I'll pay to drink their beer.
Yeah.
You can screw off if you're going to try and make me pay to come in to watch your TV.
You told him. You told him. I would say that, Mike Tyson blew all of his money. He's gone. Just gone. All of it. And we all know how much money he made. He made a ton. He also had Don King in his corner.
Don King stole a lot of the money.
He stole most of his money, I think.
The new Mike Tyson movie that's coming out here probably in the next year or so with Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx was on a radio show in New York City explaining did you see that? Where he was explaining the opening credits?
Yeah.
And it seemed amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
Oh.
Mayweather, though, would you agree? He seems to have had a lot of money. If you look at his place, you look at but he's done well with it. I mean, he's kept a lot of it around. A lot of times, by now, they need this kind of fight because they're broke. And
how many more $119 million fights do you need?
Well, he's talking about this one being his last fight.
I wouldn't doubt it. Who are you rooting for? Mayweather, Pacquiao.
I'm going for Pacquiao.
Me too.
Yeah, Pacquiao. I love the guy. I think he's a good guy. I actually don't know if I'm not so sure Mayweather isn't a good guy, but it's the brashness and it's the thing that you have to spend when you're a prize fighter. Yeah, it has to be one or the other. Like you have to be either a golden boy or one of the good guys out to nail the villain. I think Mayweather comes across as a pretty good. I'd call him a heel. And I think that's what he plays into. Mm. I don't know if he's a good guy or not. I don't think he is. I've heard about some of his relationships and maybe even kids, and that he doesn't exactly treat the way he ought to.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, but I could be completely wrong. But
how many Bentleys does a guy need?
I mean, have you seen that car collection?
I'm looking at it right now. How many Bentleys does a guy need? And then one thing that I really don't like about people is when you decide that you need to have like. Mayweather, money Mayweather on everything that you own.
That's ridiculous.
Mayweather when it comes to and specialty license plate type things.
Yeah, vanity plates.
Mayweather on the back of your, with your little thing on the back of your cars. Stupid.
Like Trump. Donald Trump has a jet.
Douchebag. Hate him.
Yeah, has a jumbo jet. The inside of the thing. Is gold plated. Pretty much everything is gold plated. Do you really need that?
There's
he does smell like poop.
If you smelled like poop, you'd need everything to be gold plated in the best of the abilities because you as a person are crap.
That's a fact. Fact or crap? That's a fact right there. And honestly,
how many cars do you need, Bentley? Seriously.
How about when you hear that Donald Trump's gone bankrupt about three times?
Oh, I love it.
And he still has this. How does he get back on top that quickly? I don't know. Sillier side of sports.
I thought that's what we were doing.
We are. No. This is is Mike's break.
Oh.
It's silly stuff, though. We got that, and we got Mike's true superstar. That's what you have written down right here. I'll give you the true superstar, as always, at the end of the show. Come on back.
Your side of sports as we take it home. We've been talking about this the last couple of days. Chris Rock in his little special that he had on HBO Real Sports talking about that there's no black guys in baseball. Black people don't like baseball. Well, here's everything we've been talking about.
Why don't black people like baseball anymore? When I was growing up, we loved baseball. I followed the Mets, and in 1986, we won it all with Doc, Darryl, Mitchell, and my man Mookie. Back then, almost 20% of all major leaguers were African-American, and I could actually have conversations with other black people about baseball. Hey, what's up, man? You see the game last night? Yeah, it was great. Now, if I say to a black person, did you see the Met game last night? They'll say, what the f*** is a Met? Last year, the San Francisco Giants won it all without any black guys on the team. And the team the Giants had to beat to get there, the St. Louis Cardinals, had no black players either. None. How could you ever be in St. Louis and see no black people? And get this, their crowds were more than 90% white, like the Ferguson Police Department. Baseball isn't 20% black anymore. It's 8% and falling fast. That's an average of two guys per team. And those two probably listen to Blake Shelton to keep them getting that kicked by their teammates.
He's onto something. I completely agree with him. Where are all the black people? There are none left anymore.
In baseball.
In baseball.
I don't know. I guess I'm not seeing that.
Do you watch baseball?
Not very much. Yeah, well, I see a lot of black
dying.
Athletes.
Baseball's
the
dying.
Sport. Yeah. The sport might be in a little bit of trouble. I think they should revamp it. I really do.
And add, like spikes and swords. Swords. S-words.
You could actually do that. I think you could actually come across doing that as sort of a, like, gladiator.
There's, like, an MMA fighting thing now. Did you see that? We were watching that yesterday at Tom Rizzocchi City Pub.
That's funny.
The Minnesota Wild allowed St. Louis Blues to tie the series 2 games apiece, obviously, and they're now heading back to St. Louis for Game 5 on Friday night. Wasn't necessarily the fact that they lost, but rather the fashion in which they did that caused the uproar around the state. The Wild had just shut out the Blues in Game 3, proceeded in losing Game 4 by a score of 6-1. You know all that. We talked about that all afternoon. Needless to say, though, that's a whopping. And even the mayor of St. Paul decided he needed to vent his frustrations. He got on Twitter. Any idea what he said?
I'd say he probably told everyone just not to come back to the games until they think they've got themselves figured out and not lay an egg like they did.
Chris Coleman, Mayor Coleman, at Mayor Coleman, the mayor of St. Paul, tweeted, at Minnesota Wild, hashtag WTF was that, which stands for what the funk was that.
What the funk? The mayor said that.
I wish we had more politicians like Mayor Coleman.
You think that's a good idea?
I wouldn't move to St. Paul and vote for him. Clearly, he has his finger on the pulse of St. Paul. Everybody was thinking that last night. He's not afraid to hold his people responsible when they fail in their duties. God, I wish more people were like Chris Coleman. What a great American.
I hope he can back up everything he says.
What do you mean?
I mean, I just hope that he's not the only guy that's perfect. I mean, he apparently thinks he is.
I think he's perfect.
He's pretty good. Hey, he's in charge of getting that little stadium down there anyway. That arena known as Excel.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. Guess who was at the White House?
Well, I think the Pates were there.
New England Patriots.
But I think someone was missing.
Tom Brady didn't go.
Yeah.
Why didn't Tom Brady go? Any idea?
Too good.
What?
He's too good to go to something like that.
Is that what he said?
No, that's what I said, because he just appears to be the guy that just doesn't need to go do something boring like that.
What an idiot. He's been there too many times. That means he wins too often. He doesn't really like it. Patriots in town. Obviously, Gronk was there.
Yeah.
The owner, Robert Kraft, was wearing his Air Force One sneakers. He's got a problem. I don't know if he had a stroke or he's just drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Wears Air Force One. Obama said, I usually tell a bunch of jokes at these events.
Okay, this is why Brady isn't there.
Then it came in hard with the Patriots in town, I was afraid that 11 out of 12 would fall flat. Boom! Roasted.
There you go. Deflategate. I'm sure that Brady doesn't want to be the brunt of any of that, so he knew that was coming.
It's funny.
A little deflategate.
God, another politician I absolutely adore.
The president. Do you love You like Obama?
I like everybody that just holds people
just
accountable.
Just rips on people.
It's funny. It's hilarious. Jim Harbaugh, the consummate professional, by the way, the consummate winner, because he never gives up on himself, even if it crosses the lines of stalking. Harbaugh has always avoided being a quitter, and the story about how he met and courted his wife should tell you everything you need to know about him. The new Michigan Wolverines coach recently did an interview with HBO Real Sports and revealed how he met his wife, Sarah, who's quite attractive. Harbaugh says from the moment he saw her, he knew that she was a winner. Quote, Sarah was there getting takeout at this restaurant. I went up to her and asked if I could meet her. That's a weird way to ask.
Well, there you go.
Can I meet you?
So wow.
She said, sure, you can meet me. I didn't believe her at first, he said. I thought it was one of those fake numbers she was trying to give me, but I called her multiple times, like 9 times before she called me back.
He just walked up to her, just randomly, and said, hey, can I meet you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was this...
But you're missing the point. Then called her 9 times.
So she wasn't really serious about that. She just gave him his number, but who does that? Just, you can't meet me.
Who called, but seriously?
9 times. She finally took it.
I mean, was she desperate to call somebody back? Because most people, I mean, I'm a guy. If a girl's calling me 9 times before we've even gone on a first date and I haven't called her back once.
That means
psycho.
Yeah.
Which everybody knows Jim Harbaugh is a nutbag.
He is a little bit nutty. They got tired of him in Frisco.
Mm.
But when did he meet her? In college or after he got into the pros?
In college, I want to
college?
Say. I think it was
wow.
College.
Wow. What a clown.
Sillier side of sports, the University of Nebraska. I think you and I are going to go on a road trip, by the way. University of Nebraska Omaha is about to open their new $81 million arena for their basketball, hockey, and volleyball teams. But that's bearing the lead because the most important news from the announcement is that the local restaurant, it's called Voodoo Taco, is going to use a taco shooting gun at the sporting events.
A taco shooting gun.
I'm so lucky to be alive at this moment in time. I mean, what do these poor saps do before... Back in the olden days. A taco shooting gun.
A taco shooting gun. I got to think that kind of sprays it everywhere, doesn't it? I can't think a taco would stay together very well.
I would imagine you put it together in a wrapping and maybe put like a little sticker or something on there. But
wow. Maybe you burrow it up a little bit taco and wrap it and gun. Then just like fire it away, huh? Nicely done, though. I applaud the effort.
Yeah.
So apparently if you get up and you stand up and you applaud them. They'll shoot you one.
Like you get t-shirts or whatever at Target Field. Or
Target Center. Now it's tacos.
Yeah, love it. AJ Francis might be a professional football player. He plays for the Miami Dolphins, but he's also a little bit of a hustler, too. The checks NFL players receive, obviously more than enough to sustain a comfortable lifestyle, even for the lowest paid players. I mean, Colin Leffler gets like $1 million. However, according to the New York Post, or the New York Daily News, Francis is taking up a job as an Uber driver in the offseason.
That's Uber not a driver. Bad idea. That's not a bad idea, really.
He's 6'5", 330 pounds, told the Daily News that after being a user and a fan of Uber, the taxi app, he applied to be a driver yesterday. And then AJ tweeted out, people ask me, why do you want to be an Uber driver if you play in the NFL? He says, you know what's better than the NFL? Or excuse me, he said, you know what's better than NFL money? More money.
More money, of course.
But it's not like he's going to be...
Well, there's a guy Uber. That, like, you know, at least he's going to save all of his money and just operate on Uber money, apparently.
Those Uber people are awesome. Have you ever done an Uber?
I never have.
Honest to God, you're an adult, so you probably aren't getting all crazy out on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yep. But it's got to be the way to go.
These Uber things are awesome.
You've done it?
Yeah. Screw this taxi cab crap. I'm driving in somebody's brand new car. Honest to God, they're all like nice new cars, these people. Like, you drive, if you're an Uber driver, you drive your Dodge Ram around, picking up people, driving them places. It's awesome.
Why am I not doing that? That's got to be good money.
I don't know. No, it can't be that much money, for God's sakes. There's everybody be doing it.
Charge whatever you want.
No games tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do without you. I'll miss you until tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
It's going to be tough. We can get through this. It is 24 hours. But you know, we'll make it. I think we'll make it. We're going to pull through this thing. But, tomorrow we'll wrap this bad boy up. See what happens.
Okay.
The Wild play tomorrow, don't they?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Oh, good God.
Take us home.
Look out. We have Army Sergeant First Class Ricardo Young, 34 years of age, from Roston, Arkansas, assigned to the 738th Engineer Support Company, 307th Engineer Battalion Combat Airborne, 20th Engineer Brigade, 18 Airborne Corps, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, died August 28th in Ghazni Province, Afghanistan, after being hit by enemy fire. Army Sergeant first class, Ricardo Young. He died in August, August 28th in 2013. So I'm going back and getting someone that I have not mentioned before in the past. Please do remember that soldier in your hearts and prayers. And I would appreciate it if you would. Good night.